This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The path to an NFL championship starts in 32 unique locker rooms across the country.
I ain't blinking, don't you blink! Cut your eyelids off.
But only one can achieve football immortality.
Fires into the end zone. Touchdown! No!
Which one of these Saturday Supermen will carry their programs all the way to the championship game?
Loads up, looks long, throws, end zone, touchdown! Alabama, the champion of college football!
Football's journey is documented here.
Leave no doubt!
Every weekend, with your host, D.A., it's Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio.
Touchdown!
And a happy Sunday morning to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this morning on the show, how about Saints Ring of Honor member Deuce McAllister? Went to a pair of Pro Bowls as a running back for the Saints, now a member of their broadcast team. We'll talk about perhaps the biggest game of the weekend. That is the NFL, the Ravens and the Saints. A great defense versus a great offense. What gives? We'll talk to Deuce coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. Also, your best play-by-play calls of yesterday's college football chaos and excessive celebration. We'll also tackle the Pac-12. The Chiefs trying to rebound after losing in Foxborough, and Vegas virtuoso Nick Kostos will join us to give us his viewpoint on how Vegas views today in the NFL. It's all straight ahead right here on Sunday Morning Football, every single Sunday here on CBS Sports Radio. You can always listen to us as well on SiriusXM Channel 206 across this wonderful CBS Sports Radio network. Listen to us on the radio.com app or on Apple Music. And you can watch the proceedings, the simulcast going on as we speak right now. Watch it on any device at watchda.com. I know you guys want to weigh in on Ohio State getting its butt kicked. How about a chippy Michigan-Michigan State game? How about Oregon losing at Wazoo as well in Pullman? All of that action straight ahead here on the show, and I'm sure you want to weigh in, so hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. It's time for your Sunday Gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, there are winners and there are losers. He shoots from the hip. DA is the Sunday Gunslinger.
We need men like him to make towns safer, decent people.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
Now jerk that pistol and go to work.
All right, let's do it.
Guys, I didn't think I'd say this because for as unlikable as Urban Meyer is, he's still a hell of a coach. I did not think I would say this, but Urban Meyer got completely outcoached yesterday. When you watch what happened for the Boilermakers last night against Ohio State, one thing rings true. The Makers were up, the Buckeyes were down. Purdue came into the game as the aggressor. Purdue played the cleaner game. Purdue got stops. Ohio State didn't do any of those things. I thought the Buckeyes came out lethargic. They were likely overlooking Purdue. They were reading their press clippings, and that goes to Urban Meyer. They were also completely undisciplined. 10 penalties, 10 missed tackles all over the place, and huge swaths of territory and yardage for Purdue to run through. Ohio State got exposed. Its defense has been questionable at best all season long. But yesterday was not just on the defense. That entire team got outplayed and outcoached.
Back to throw. Throws a swing pass. Rondale Moore catches. 45-40. Got the first down. 35-30. 25-20. 50-10-5. Touchdown. You can't believe that play that Rondale Moore just made. A 43-yard touchdown pass. And that'll put the icing on the cake.
Tim Newton on Learfield for Purdue Radio. The Boilermakers end up walking out of that house with 540 yards of offense against supposedly one of the top two or three teams of the country. No longer. And we'll delve deeper into this coming up next hour. But Ohio State's loss has obviously opened up a spot in the college football playoff rankings for a one-loss team to slide in there and perhaps double SEC teams in the college football playoff. One thing we know is never to get ahead of ourselves when it comes to college football, because night like last night happened. But for Urban Meyer and the Buckeyes, they got outplayed and outcoached. Meyer needs to look in the mirror after last night. Elsewhere in the Big Ten, Michigan and Michigan State, the number six Wolverines, walk out of East Lansing with a 21-7 victory. But the real fireworks happened before the game, when Michigan State locks arm in arm, width of the field, and begins walking the length of the field while a couple of Michigan players are on the field and will not get out of their way. So you have the Michigan State team interlocked, all side by side, basically clotheslining one of the members of the Wolverines and knocking another member's headphones off. And then you have one of the Wolverines going to midfield and kicking and stomping and hoofing up the logo of the Spartans. And you have now Michigan's head coach and Jim Harbaugh, Michigan State's head coach, D'Antonio, now sniping back and forth. Who was more Bush League?
Apparently they were clotheslined. Two of our guys came out in their helmets. Lawrence Marshall got... They just went up and clotheslined him. Old-fashioned clothesline. Ripped off, one of their guys ripped off LeVert's headphones. Total Bush League. And apparently Coach D'Antonio was 5 yards behind it all smiling. So I think it's Bush League. That's my impression of it. But our guys, they didn't blink. They didn't come here to back down or get intimidated by anybody. So we never have in this game. And guys... Guys did what they had to do. Be a happy bus ride home.
There was an issue before the game today. The little brother line comes out again afterwards from Michigan players, and Coach Harbaugh said the shenanigans before the game were total Bush League, and Coach D'Antonio was 5 yards behind it all smiling. I was curious if you had any reaction to that. I'm sorry?
You heard me.
It's BS.
D'Antonio saying it's BS. Look, I didn't see where D'Antonio was 5 yards behind laughing at the whole thing. So I think Harbaugh is kind of stirring up the hornet's nest and he feels like he can take shots because he won the game. But I think for both sides, no one comes out of that looking good. Neither side comes out of it looking good. But I'm not all into this sportsmanship, do it the right way, blah, blah, blah. I'm into wins and losses. And Michigan was the better football team. And this was a spot where Harbaugh teams lose. Tough road venue, rivalry game, as the favorite, this is where they lose. They've lost 8 of the last 10 against Spartans. So, you know what? I give the Wolverines credit because they went into a tough place. They played a great game defensively. It was an ugly game to watch, a bazillion punts. But if Michigan is going to go out there and they're going to be chippy and they're going to try to disrespect the Spartans logo, and they're going to call out Michigan State, then you have to win that game. You have to. And they did. So to the victor go the spoils. And finally, today in the NFL, to me, the game of the day, New Orleans and Baltimore. These two teams have an excellent chance at going deep in January, but they come in with different strengths. We know how great Drew Brees is, and we know how great the Ravens' defense is. So which side breaks here? The Saints aerial attack or the Ravens' rock-solid defense?
the way you get him off his game is, you know, you got to bring pressure, you got to mix it up, and you got to make sure that he's, you know, he doesn't know what you're doing, like I said. I think that's the biggest thing, but other than that, he's going to make the throws. He knows where guys are supposed to be, and he's gonna play till the end, till, you know, the fourth quarter when there's no time left.
So that's wide receiver Willie Snead of the Baltimore Ravens, because this is a guy that has played in New Orleans. And I think this is so fascinating because he's a Hall of Famer, obviously, talking about Drew Brees. We know he can put up all types of crazy stats inside that dome. We know he's dangerous no matter what, but outdoors, colder day today in the mid-Atlantic states of the Northeast, and against an elite defense like the Ravens. There's not many teams anymore that play defense in the NFL. And so I'm fascinated by this matchup. This game will tell us a lot about whether the Saints are frauds in the fact that they can put up points, but they can't stop anybody, and they can put up points at home, but they can't stop anybody. If they can't stop Joe Flacco in that passing attack, they've got problems. The Ravens can run the football. The Saints can stop the run. But we don't know whether the Saints can stop anything through the air, and we don't know if Drew Brees can do this on the road against this defense. We've seen Drew do it many times before, but I'm interested to see whether this year's Saints team is just another version of the previous Saints teams. All Drew Brees and nothing else, and when you run into a really good defense, it becomes imbalanced, and the Saints look like they're one-dimensional. Let's watch that today. I think up and down the NFL docket, it's the most interesting game of the day. And that's why we have Deuce McAllister joining us, a member of the Saints broadcast team, coming up here in about 20 minutes from now to preview this one. Because I think we're at a spot in both of these seasons, for both the Saints and the Ravens, where you go, all right, they're good, but are they great? Are they at the Rams level? Are they at the Chiefs level? Are they at the Patriots level? These two teams are not considered at that very top tier in their conferences. A win by either one of them today would convince us perhaps otherwise. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. It's toll-free, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. When we come back, Deuce McAllister is going to join us, multi-time Pro Bowler for the New Orleans Saints. We'll talk about Drew Brees' longevity, what Sean Payton brings to the table in New Orleans. We'll preview this game against the Ravens and also ask him about Hurricane Katrina and 12 years later where the city of New Orleans is. That's coming up with Deuce McAllister next on Sunday Morning Football. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Welcome back, CBS Sports Radio, everybody. DA with you here on Sunday Morning Football. And our next guest is a two-time Pro Bowler with the New Orleans Saints. He's a member of the team's Hall of Fame as well and had a standout career in the SEC at Ole Miss. He's now a member of the broadcast team for the New Orleans Saints. It's Deuce McAllister. Deuce, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I appreciate you being here, man. When you look at where Drew Brees' career is now compared to when you first began playing with him, you were there in New Orleans before Drew was there. Then he comes and obviously the franchise takes off. Does it surprise you at all that he's at a point still where he's breaking all types of records?
I don't think it surprised you that he's breaking those type of records. I think it's what surprised you is, you know, it's almost been 10 years since I retired, and this young man at 39 years of age is still going, and it looks like he's gotten even better than when we first started together back in New Orleans back in 2006. So it's just been amazing to be able to watch him work and, you know, just to be able to not only interact with some of the older guys, but some of the younger teammates as well, because you go and look at this roster, it was really a revamped roster over the last 2 to 3 years. And these guys are just playing really, really well. And, you know, it's just something to go out and watch every Sunday.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the longevity of Drew Brees, because your career was solid. It was a long NFL career, and yet here he is a decade later still doing this. We always think about Tom Brady and his longevity. Do we overlook how important Drew Brees' longevity has been? And because of the Tom Brady storyline, maybe he goes under the radar in that way.
I think it gets lost in that equation. I mean, one of the things also before Peyton retired, it was also Peyton Manning in that conversation. And so when you're going against those Hall of Famers, and I think all three of them are first ballots. They will be first ballot Hall of Famers. But when you're playing against those type of guys, then if you're not competing for Super Bowls, and the Saints haven't won but one, but you look at the multiple number of Super Bowl wins that Brady has accomplished, you look at the multiple wins that Peyton Manning had, I think that's where Drew kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And until or if he wins another, then maybe he is thought of on that national level. But I think, you know, you look at the longevity, that plays a factor. Obviously, being able to break the all-time passing record, that may have put it more so on the forefront of a lot of, you know, maybe casual fans. If you're a hardcore fan, then I think that you've been following and you know it. But maybe so more so for the casual fan, they are starting to give him, I think, the respect that he may have not necessarily have gotten in the past.
Deuce McAllister, member of the New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame and now broadcaster, joining us this morning on Sunday Morning Football. So today is a fascinating matchup between the Saints and the Ravens. What do you think gives here between a high-flying Saints aerial attack, but one having to do it outdoors against an elite defense like the Ravens?
I don't think the outdoors part will affect them as far as them being able to go out and operate. I think what's critical here is having success running the football, because if you can make Baltimore, which they're really, really good at stopping the run, but if you can make them have to stop the run, then that's going to give you the one-on-one matchups with Michael Thomas. You know, I expect Brandon Carr to be able to shadow him and go everywhere he goes. Now for the Saints, can they take advantage of maybe Cameron Meredith finding a matchup that he likes? Or you go and look when they move Alvin Kamara out in the open space, or he's lined up in the slot. Now, is that a matchup do they like? You know, and so I think for the Saints, it's finding the matchup that they like, but it starts with running the football. They have to be able to have some type of success running the football.
You know, we know that Sean Payton has that Super Bowl championship ring from 2009, and we know how long he and Drew Brees have been together, but you were there before both of those guys arrived. What was your first instinct? What was your first early read on Sean Payton as a head coach?
Well, the one thing that he wanted to do coming in, he wanted to really raise the profile of the organization. And when I say that, make this organization one of the top seven, top five in the NFL. And so, you know, really, I felt like coming off of Katrina, I didn't know what to expect. You know, as a city, as a team, we were really just trying to come back, you know, establish the organization again, and really had an outpouring amount of support from the Gulf South region. People committed to buying tickets, and, you know, they just fell in love with the Saints organization again. But for Sean, raising the profile of the organization, you know, getting things back in order or even better than they were before. From a coaching standpoint, really falling off of that Bill Parcells tree of, you know, getting guys, everyone to go in the same direction. Because at times there were small groups, you know, and so you've got so many guys pulling in different directions. But really falling off of that Parcells tree of saying, no, everyone is pulling this way, and if you're not, then you're not going to be a part of it. So for Sean, really setting his mentality, his ideas, and just transforming an organization.
Two-time Pro Bowler Deuce McAllister, our guest here on Sunday Morning Football. You know, you mentioned Hurricane Katrina, and the nation became very intimate with the city of New Orleans during that. But it's been 12 years, if you can believe that, 12 years. And from somebody up close and personal with the city, where the city is after Katrina, for Americans who might not have that sense of where the city is since then, what's been happening and what's the rebuild been like since then?
There are still some areas that suffer, and I think those areas will suffer regardless of Katrina. Maybe some piece of those, you know, maybe it's not best to rebuild just because of some, not necessarily economical, but maybe you want safety in some of those areas. So I don't know if some of those areas will ever come back, but I feel like, you know, at this point, the city is strong as ever, really trying to grow and prosper. And, you know, just give people the opportunity that they deserve. And, you know, obviously some people felt like moving was their best option and not coming back, and I can understand that. But at this point, you know, the city of New Orleans is open. It's thriving. We'll open up a new international airport that, you know, for us will signify, you know, that they're open for business, and not just from a regional standpoint or national, but international standpoint. And I think that's important. And, you know, just to continue to have people come and visit and have fun and be able to say, yes, I want to return back to New Orleans. I think that's important.
Finally, I want to ask you about Ole Miss. I was at the Grove 2 years ago when Alabama came to town. The Rebels put a scare in them, and I was just blown away by how fun and how exciting and how great the people were. And just the masses of fans down there and what they set up. I couldn't believe it. It was such an awesome experience. I saw one of your recent pieces you did with CBS Sports about what it was like on campus in Oxford. And obviously you're an icon there. What was it like, in your words, to play amongst that crowd with that passion in that stadium on Saturdays?
It's really a town that is driven by the university and the students. And so when you look at Oxford is – It's a piece of the University of Mississippi. And so for me, just being from Mississippi, having the opportunity to go really anywhere in the Southeastern Conference and deciding to stay at home, getting an opportunity to play early, for me, it's not just the 4 years. I mean, because some of my teammates, I talk to some of those guys more than one time, twice a day, three times a day. And it's not obviously about all football. We talk about different things as far as life in general, but you know, whenever we can follow the Rebels, be able to go to the Grove and be able to go and just be a part of the university. I think that's what makes it so special. And so it's a unique city. It's a unique university. It's small town Mississippi, but, you know, we enjoy being around each other. We enjoy, you know, obviously playing the game of football. And so, you know, I tell anyone, if they haven't had an opportunity, to go see for themselves. And then that will be how they judge it, not necessarily what someone else's opinion is of the school or the university.
Deuce McAllister joining us this morning here on the show, multi-time Pro Bowler with the New Orleans Saints, a member of their Hall of Fame, a first-team All-SEC running back at Ole Miss as well, now a member of the Saints broadcast team joining us. Deuce, great stuff, man. Thanks so much.
All right, no problem. Thank you for having me on.
Deuce McAllister joining us this morning on the show. When we come back, we've got your excessive celebration, the best play-by-play calls of yesterday's insanity around college football. DA, Sunday Morning Football.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Happy Sunday to you, everybody. Thanks for being with us here on CBS Sports Radio. Each and every week, 9 until 11 a.m. Eastern Time, we break down everything that happened in college football and preview NFL action on Sundays. It's Sunday Morning Football across the CBS Sports Radio Network on SiriusXM Channel 206. And anywhere you are on your phone, use the CBS Sports app, radio.com app, or Apple Music. And watch on any device at watchda.com. Next hour here on the show, we'll look at the Buckeyes getting exposed yesterday by Purdue in one of the most embarrassing thumpings in Urban Meyer's career in Columbus. And also the Kansas City Chiefs coming off that Sunday night thriller against the Patriots. Can they rebound? Good opponent where they will have to play the Cincinnati Bengals. We kind of laugh at the Bengals because every time we want to believe, we know we should not believe. And yet here they are again as a winning team, one of the best teams in that division. And that really is right now the best division of football, the AFC North, with the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Bengals. And the Browns are no longer pushover either. So Bengals and Chiefs, a very interesting matchup today for Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City offense after nearly pulling the trick in Foxborough last Sunday night. That's coming up next hour. Also, Nick Costos, CBS Sports HQ, is going to join us. Our Vegas virtuoso to look at the line today in the NFL. And Tim Brando, one of the voices of college football, joined me on my show this past week and brought up a very interesting situation regarding Notre Dame and a butterfly effect at Notre Dame in a college football playoff, what that would mean for the sport in general and perhaps expansion of the playoff. You'll hear his theory next hour on the show also. As always, you can hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, it's DA on CBS. Let's give you your best play-by-play calls from yesterday's college football action.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
At the goal line, I think he caught it for a touchdown. He got it! He got it! He got it! Touchdown, Nick Matthews! The Cougars win it! The Cougars win it!
Here's the best of the weekend. It's excessive celebration.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow!
Let's start in East Lansing, as we mentioned. This one was chippy from the outset. During the pregame walkthrough, Michigan State locking arm in arm as a team as they normally do, walking the length of the football field while Wolverines were out there trying to warm up. There's a confrontation. And during the game, obviously, it was a chippy affair. It was an aggressive affair. But at the end of the day, this was a win that Jim Harbaugh's team has not normally become accustomed to, which is beating a rival, especially on the road, especially Michigan State. But they pulled the trick yesterday, 21-7, and the Wolverines get out of there with a victory.
Gets the football, back to throw, looks, throws. Throwing deep down the right sideline, and it's caught! Over the 50, down to the 30, yes. It is all the way! Touchdown, Michigan!
That's Jim Brandstatter on Michigan IMG Sports Network. I thought Shea Patterson had a couple of big throws in this game. There's that element of the offense that Michigan has kind of been without for a couple of seasons. You also saw Michigan run for more than 180 yards on the ground, and that's really enforcing your will, imposing your will in a physical rivalry. This is usually a game where the Spartans impose their will. They're usually the more physical one, and this is oftentimes a game that ends up being kind of a seesaw effect for Michigan in their season. Oftentimes the Wolverines will come into this game, get banged up, get beaten up in a physical affair, and then afterwards kind of slide through the rest of their season. They found a way to win, and they found a way to win in the trenches yesterday. It's a really good win for the Wolverines. Meantime, in the Pac-12, what can you say? They keep eating each other. Every time there's a chance to go to the college football playoff, it's right on the table. Somebody gets popped. Somebody gets knocked off. Oregon had that lead. Couldn't lose the lead against Stanford, and then found a way to lose the lead. And then had college game day and all eyes on them in Pullman, Washington yesterday. Big Pac-12 matchup. The Ducks looking to assert themselves at the top of this conference against Wazoo. And what happens?
Minshew tosses it center of the field, wants the end zone. Leaping grab, touchdown, Des Patman. And the Palouse's going to pop. 3:40 left in the fourth. It's 33-20 Cougs. First points of the second half, and it's Des Patman down the center of the field, back of the end zone. Minshew with a touchdown and over 300 yards acquired this game.
That's Washington State IMG Radio on the call. That was the final score of the game. Oregon had fought back. I mean, Washington State had opened up a 27-0 lead at halftime. Here's Oregon with all the attention. Everybody talking about Mario Cristobal and Justin Herbert. This team really finally getting back to where Oregon used to be. They were finally in that spot where people were taking them seriously. They come out and they trail by 27 points at halftime. Come on, Oregon. You have then dug yourself too deep a hole, and they nearly climbed out of it. They scored the next 20 points and make it 27-20, so a wild game. But then that was the icer, about three and change left to go in the fourth quarter. So credit Mike Leach, credit the Cougars. They find a way to win, and now they're the one loss Pac-12 team. And that was huge for the Pac-12 North race and who's going to play in the championship game. But Oregon, I'm okay with you losing on the road. That's a tough place to play. That's a small stadium, intimate crowd. They're on top of you. It's a crazy, wild, outrageous crowd. I'm okay with you losing. I'm not okay with you trailing 27-0 at halftime. This was your chance on the national stage to prove your worth, and he gets smacked around. Looks like he didn't get off the bus in the first half. It's a great win for the Cougars. Great win. But again, the Pac-12. Nobody can take them seriously because every time it seems like a team ascends to the top, they get dragged back down. How about the finish between Army and Miami of Ohio? I was actually at this game at beautiful Mikey Stadium on the shores of the Hudson River in beautiful Apple Country, beautiful Hudson Valley weather, cool, crisp October day. Where else would you rather be? We go to double overtime as Army tries to hold on.
Raglan in trouble. Backside coming. They get him.
Wait,
but he got it away. He got it away to Young.
Oh.
And he's stopped by Riley.
How about that?
What an end.
That
what
was
a finish. They go for the win, and Army stops them. They've won 10 straight here at home.
Ben Holden on CBS Sports Network. This game was totally insane. Totally insane. We go to overtime, okay? So the Red Hawks come back and they tie things up. We go to overtime. We then go to double overtime. Army ends up scoring a touchdown in double overtime, kicks the extra point, they're up 7. Miami of Ohio comes back and scores a touchdown. They can kick the extra point and go to triple overtime. Instead, they go for the win. They go for the 2-point conversion. It looks like their quarterback is sacked by Army. He's falling down. He flips it to the side to a teammate, completes the flip slash lateral slash pass, but then Miami of Ohio gets tackled before the goal line, and so Army wins. If you've never had a chance to go to Mikey Stadium to see that scene, it's wonderful. It's really wonderful. Obviously, you have just the patriotism and the American flag and the cadets, and it's just such a cool old school type of college football feel. It really feels like you're back in 1965. It only seats 30 some odd thousand people, but it's gorgeous. It's fun. It was a great day out there, and a big win by Army. I was happy that I could be out there experiencing that, and what a wild way for it to end. And then finally, at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, New York, North Carolina came in. Was SU as good as its 4-0 record when they began the season would indicate, or were they more of the team that lost in an ugly game against Pitt and then also lost against Clemson a couple of weeks back? Well, they led 20-7 over North Carolina before the Tar Heels put on a big-time show in the second half. And then Dino Babers, head coach of Syracuse, decides, I'm going away from my veteran quarterback. Eric Dungy, you're sitting. Babers got some stones. He brings in his red-shirt freshman QB, Tommy DeVito, who's his best recruit that he has had since he's been at SU, a 4-star quarterback. He brings in DeVito, and DeVito goes off and engineers a rousing comeback and a win in overtime in front of the Dome faithful.
DeVito with a snap in the middle of the field. Sets up on the S logo. 4 in the pattern. Arching a deep ball. Johnson down there. Catch made at the goal line for the Syracuse touchdown. DeVito to Johnson. It's 42 yards for the score. Fedora won the timeout. Didn't get it. DeVito pop pass end zone. Rebound on Pierce. Touchdown. And the ball game. DeVito in relief. Wins it for the Orange.
Matt Park, voice of the Orange on IMG Sports. DeVito comes in late game and overtime action, throws for 181 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he just gave him that spark. And I don't think that Eric Dungy's getting his job back. DeVito runs that offense. As good as Dungy's been, runs that offense better. And Dino Babers has something. If you saw the touch and you saw the arm strength on this kid, you'd know he could be one of the next great quarterbacks of the ACC, and they pump out some good ones. He looked every bit the part, and for an Orange program that has been so down for so long, they're 5-2. They've got 2 wins of the conference. They've got a big game against NC State in primetime coming up. They still have a chance to go to a big-time bowl game at 5-2. And I think Orange fans are just looking at any postseason game. Now they're looking at a really good one at 5-2. And DeVito, boy, that kid's the real deal. He looked phenomenal. And that's your excessive celebration. Going on as we speak right now, it's Titans and Chargers, as Los Angeles is the home team, quote-unquote, in the game at Wembley Stadium in London. It's 7-3 Chargers with 9 and change to play in the first quarter, so still very early on in this game. So breakfast football from London, and the Chargers gave up a home game to play in this. And I think this is interesting to note this week. I wrote a column about this for CBS Sports. I believe there is thinking within the NFL offices that the Chargers thing is never going to work in LA, and that the Chargers might be a team in queue to eventually be in London full time. Look, I don't like the idea of a team in London. The NFL has built its riches, built its power, built its influence on the back of us. This is not the NBA with a huge international crowd and audience. This has become a billion-dollar a year, multi-billion dollar a year, but billion-dollar per team league, because they have soaked us for everything we are worth as football fans here in the U.S. And to move a team full-time to London, to have even these games, one regular season game for these teams, I think stinks. But boy, they're hell-bent on it. When they're hell-bent on it, they like doing it. Come hell or high water. And this week, Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, was looking at trying to buy Wembley Stadium. Because the Jaguars play a game out there every single year, Shad Khan wanted to buy Wembley Stadium to up his revenue, and he pulled out of the deal this week. Interestingly, coincidentally, the same week they've had internal discussions within the NFL and the owners about how bad the Chargers situation is. I wonder if the two aren't connected. Where the NFL goes, look, we don't want to upset yet another franchise's fan base. We've done this in St. Louis. We've done this in Oakland. We've done this in San Diego. Another black guy would take a team out of Jacksonville that wants to go to London full time. How about instead the Chargers? Because nobody would even notice if they moved out of LA right now. Even if that's not connected, even if this is just simply that he ran into too much politics and tried to purchase Wembley Stadium. The Chargers thing will not work. It's not working, it isn't working, and it won't work. And it's a shame, and it's a black eye, and it's egg on their face, because the owners of the league and the commissioner of the league had dollar signs in their eyes. They did not look at the reality of the situation. Yes, the Rams could go there. Yes, LA could handle a team coming back, but they were fine without football for 20 years. They didn't need two teams, and they certainly didn't need a team on a shoestring budget like the Chargers, being the second team in and kind of tripping their way behind Big Brother, following, hey, we're going to come to LA too. They play in a soccer stadium with 30,000 people. They got 25,000 opposing fans at every game. They can't sell out 30,000 people in a soccer stadium. You're telling me when they move 2 years from now into the Rams' Kroenke World Stadium at 70,000 people, it's going to get better? No, it's going to get worse. And the league knows this. They're going to have to tarp off the entire upper deck of a real football stadium. They already do it for a soccer stadium. It's not going to get better. It was a huge mistake for them to do so, moving the Chargers, allowing the Chargers to move to L.A., and the right thing would be for the NFL to get involved to get a new stadium passed and funded in San Diego. And if they can't get taxpayer money, pay it out of your own pockets, NFL. You've got enough of it with relocation fees and everything that you're making with the Rams going to LA and the Raiders going to Vegas. Do what's right. Because right now what's right is not being done, and LA doesn't care about the Chargers, and they won't. I wrote a piece about that for CBS Sports, which you can check out online and on Twitter. I've tweeted it out. When we come back, the Buckeyes get exposed yesterday and leaves open the door for another SEC team in the playoff.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.